This morning on WCHL, we'll talk about the moral majority, and we have a lot of other information to pass along to you this morning on WCHL. It's the Monday Morning News on WCHL, and I'm Ron Stutz.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
Actually a nice day on the way, mostly sunshine. Look for a high today of about 45 degrees. I think we can all live with that. Last weekend, the Moral Monday movement entered its second year in a big way as tens of thousands of North Carolinians, hundreds from Orange County alone, gathered in Raleigh for one of the largest civil rights rallies in the South in decades. The march was electrifying and it gathered national attention. But is that enough? At what point can we declare Moral Monday to have been a success? WCHL's Aaron Keck has this report.
How do you measure a movement?
My guesstimation was about 25,000.
Ashley Melzer was at last week's march on Raleigh taking pictures for Planned Parenthood.
We counted like one little chunk of a building. There were 50 rows of an average of 35 people, and so we tried to eyeball what that might be all the way down the street. But there were certainly areas that were denser, so it could have been more like 30,000.
If Melzer is correct, then the so-called Moral March was the largest civil rights rally in the South since the Selma to Montgomery marches of 1965, nearly half a century ago. Whatever the final attendance, though, one thing is clear. The Moral Monday movement has exceeded all expectations and shows no signs of slowing down. But is that enough? Can we today declare Moral Monday to have been a success just on the strength of that mobilization? Some local leaders say yes.
In the short term, I think it's really exciting because it's mobilized people from all over the state. You're going to see that it was successful because it ruined so many people. It wasn't just the NAACP. It wasn't just the women's rights. It wasn't just the environmentalists. Everybody came to the table.
Throughout the Moral Monday marches across the state in places that I just felt like, oh, people are showing up to these rallies. That's surprising me. And so I think it's already a success in the amount of people that are connected to it.
By at least the basic measure of civic engagement and bringing together diverse interests for the common good, I think the movement's already succeeded.
That was Allison DeMarco, County Commissioner Penny Rich, Carrboro Alderman Michelle Johnson, and County Commissioner Mark Dorison, all of whom were at last Saturday's rally. Ashley Melzer goes further, saying success is not just about the big attendance at the big marches, but rather about how well the movement can motivate individuals to get involved on their own.
What's going to make or break the movement are the people who by themselves call a state senator, or by themselves send a letter, or by themselves talk to their neighbor about voting.
But Melzer's argument there speaks to a larger point. Increasing participation is an impact in itself, but participation alone doesn't seem to constitute success. The Occupy movement, for instance, drew hundreds of thousands of people to the streets, but it's harder to argue that Occupy was successful because it's harder to identify how it affected real change in government. It's that change that the Moral Monday protesters say they're after, including a change in the makeup of the General Assembly.
The most important thing we have to do is work on voter registration, get the vote out, and change the face of the legislature.
That's Chapel Hill Town Council member Sally Green. County Commissioner Bernadette Pelissier agrees.
This movement is not about changing what this current General Assembly does. Success means that the people in North Carolina will come out and vote for individuals who will promote policies that are just and morally right. And so the success means that some of the people who are now in office in the General Assembly need to be voted out of office. That's what real success will be.
But winning elections is going to be an uphill battle, too, at least in the short term. Not only has redistricting solidified the Republican majority in the state legislature, it's also President Obama's sixth year in office, and the president's party historically loses seats in that year's election. But as State Representative Greg Meyer observes, even elections are only a means to an end.
We've been marching for long enough that it goes back to when Democrats were in control of the General Assembly. So it's not about who holds control of the government. It's about what does our government do.
Most of the people I spoke to agree with Meyer.
Elections themselves are an important litmus test. But elections are important because those elections dictate the policies that are passed.
20 years from now, I feel like if we have policies that are actually going to support poor folks to get out of poverty, right? Once we see these things turning around, right, that's the success.
It just seems like decisions are being made that are so extremely outside of what mainstream North Carolina wants that I think to pull it back toward the middle where it has actually been for decades would be much more reflective of our state as a whole.
I think for several decades, North Carolina was a progressive leader in the South, and I think that just the last couple of years, we have really turned back to a direction that doesn't reflect the values that we have. I think the success will be if we're able to turn that tide and get back to moving our state forward.
That was Chapel Hill Town Council member Lee Starrow, Carborough Alderman Michelle Johnson, Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle, and Chapel Hill Carborough School Board member James Barrett. And success is not just about policy, it's also about perception. Notice the point Lavelle and Barrett both make, that the General Assembly today is outside the mainstream of North Carolina politics. That's key. The sociologist Paul Burstein argues that social movements can succeed either by changing public opinion or by changing how elected officials perceive public opinion. Moral Monday is trying to do both. On the one hand, it's trying to change hearts and minds. On the other, it's trying to send the message that it doesn't need to change hearts and minds, that North Carolinians already support the policy it's calling for. Of course, Republicans in the General Assembly generally say they aren't convinced the Moral Monday movement represents the mainstream, so success on a policy level is likely to be a long-term goal. That's often the case with social movements, though, and those who turned out for last Saturday's march say they're both resigned to that reality and resolved to see it through.
We just need to be patient, but I think that's already succeeding because of the amount of people that have been mobilized.
Even though it might want to be painted as a failure, I just don't think that's going to happen. I don't think people are going to let up.
The wrong view is probably the best view, considering that the legislature has written itself into office for much of the rest of the decade.
County Commissioners Barry Jacobs and Penny Rich there, along with Carborough Alderman Michelle Johnson. But if those policy gains are going to be years in the making, we're back to the original question. How do you measure a movement? Academic research on social movements is limited, and even within that subfield, there's very little agreement on what constitutes success. The sociologist William Gamson argued that a movement succeeds if it wins new advantages, or in other words, if it achieves its stated policy goals. In the case of Moral Monday, there are quite a few.
Women, education, equal rights for equal love, universal health care, municipalities and counties maintain their own rights,
environmental justice,
the rights of people to be represented by their state government.
Of course, all those are going to be difficult to achieve, but it's not impossible. Republicans in the General Assembly don't seem to have wavered too much from their platform, but Mark Dorison points out that they do seem to have pulled back on at least one issue.
Where there's already a reaction on the right that they're going to raise teacher salaries. I don't think that would have happened had it not been for the Moral Monday movement. So I think we're already seeing the successes, even beyond just organizing and engaging folks.
And maybe even that standard is too narrow. Sociologists Edwin Amenta and Michael Young say it's not just about whether a movement achieves its stated goals, it's about whether life gets better for the people it represents. With that in mind, it's worth noting one argument that kept coming back among all the people I spoke with. Moral Monday isn't just about policy, they said. It's about promoting a worldview of solidarity, togetherness, and mutual respect. Alicia Stemper, Annette Stone, and Randy Haven O'Donnell.
I think the movement's success will be judged by positive change and whether or not we're all taking care of each other.
There's a shift back to something a little bit more moderate, that we as a people pick up our social hats and put them on and think about other people more, as opposed to being the me, just me kind of societies.
I think America is shifting culturally, and this is what the transition looks like. There's push ahead, there's push back. So we will see this as one of those seminal points of pushing back so that the emergence of the new culture can come forth.
And if that's the case, then the success of Moral Monday, if it comes, will come not just from what they do in Raleigh, but also from what we do in Chapel Hill. Aaron Keck, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
WCHL News Time is 6:16. There is other news, and we'll have some just in a moment.
This is Stephen Lair with Home Instead Senior Care. It seems the temperatures have finally dropped for good, and with those lows come high risks for the elderly. As people age, their skin becomes thinner and their body's less able to sense changes in body temperature. In short, seniors get cold more quickly without realizing it, which puts them in danger of hypothermia. Take a moment to check in with a senior in your life to make sure that they're properly equipped for the winter months ahead. Coats, hats, and blankets could be just the thing to save a senior's life this winter. For more information, go to homeinstead.com, where to us, it's personal.
The following 10 seconds of a yodeling pickle is brought to you by Cameron's, now at 300 East Main Street in Carborough. The previous 10 seconds of a yodeling pickle was brought to you by Cameron's, a gallery of gifts, jewelry, cards, and highly entertaining off-the-wall stuff. Cameron's, now at 300 East Main Street in Carborough. Cameron's, a wonderland of gifts.
What's better than getting the nation's most reliable 4G LTE network? Getting it for $100 less than Verizon. Introducing AT&T's new pricing for families. Four lines with unlimited talk and text and 10 gigabytes of data to share, all for $160 a month. That's $100 less per month than a comparable Verizon plan. But the savings don't stop there. Switch now and you get a $100 AT&T bill credit for every line. So if you're looking for a better value, switch to AT&T. Four lines, unlimited talk and text, 10 gigabytes of data to share, all for $160 a month. And with the nation's most reliable 4G LTE network. AT&T. Rethink possible. AT&T reminds you to never text and drive. It can wait.
Compares four smartphone lines on AT&T mobile share value with no annual contracts to Verizon Share Everything. Credit offer ends March 31st. Must activate new qualified wireless line and remain in good standing. Credit received within three bills. Other charges and restrictions apply. Visit a store for details. Reliability claim based on data transfer completion rates on nationwide LTE networks. Limited availability.
Ron Stuntz in the morning and progressive talk all day. This is 97.9 FM WCHL.
It's 6:18 at WCHL. North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory went on two national talk shows on Sunday to talk about climate change and the winter storms that have iced over the state in the past 2 weeks. On both Face the Nation and This Week with George Stephanopoulos, and McCrory was asked about his comments while running for governor in 2008 that he doesn't get caught up in the global warming debate because he thinks it's in God's hands. McCrory said Sunday he thinks there has always been climate change, but instead of focusing on global warming, the governor says people should concentrate on keeping the air and water clean. McCrory also said environmental protection is a delicate balancing act with economic development and affordable power. WCHL News. Newstime 6:19. It is time now for traffic and weather together on WCHL. And this traffic report is brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace, serving the best tasting fountain drinks in town. Made with 100% filter water, served at 34 degrees, and guaranteed to taste great. And you know what else? They're only 79 cents. Cruisers, good to go. All traffic moving along very well this morning. That's because there's virtually no traffic out there at this time of the day. That situation is certainly going to change a little bit later on. And when it does, Rand Northam is in the newsroom. He'll be reporting on traffic throughout the morning and let you know what's going on. Right now, there are no problems at all. Shouldn't have any problems. Just remember that if there's any kind of water that was on the roads, it's likely to be of the frozen variety. We're right there at that point this morning, so please just drive a little extra caution, as always. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather is brought to you by Crown Honda of South Point, home of Dream Service, where your scheduled service and maintenance happen while you sleep. Dream Service from Crown Honda of South Point, located just a minute off I-40 at the 751 exit. Mostly sunny, high today in the middle 40s. Tonight we're looking at mostly cloudy, a 50-50 chance of rain, mainly after midnight, overnight low in the low 30s. Tomorrow, sunny, not as cool with highs in the low 60s. Tomorrow night, clear, and then partly cloudy after midnight with a chance, slight chance of rain and a little around 40. On Wednesday, partly sunny with a 20% chance of showers in the morning and the high in the middle 60s. So that's your kind of your long-range forecast for the next couple of days here at WCHL. Basically, everything is copacetic this morning. It is 6:20 at WCHL, and time now for WCHL Championship Sports. The number 17 North Carolina women's basketball team got a big win yesterday, defeating number 10 North Carolina State Sunday afternoon, 89-82, to improve to 20-6 on the season and 8-4 in ACC play. With the loss, the Wolfpack dropped to 22-4 overall, 9-3 in conference play. Tar Heels handed the Wolfpack their first home defeat of the season at Reynolds Coliseum to complete the season sweep over their rivals. It was a big game. It was a raising of cancer awareness. It was the annual tribute to Kay Yao game, but the Tar Heels won anyway. Diamond Shields again delivered a world-class performance in a hostile environment, leading Carolina with 38 points, a career high for the freshman sensation. Alicia Gray was also a key player in the victory, scoring 15 of her 18 total points in the second half to hold off some inspired play from the Wolfpack. The Wolfpack shot 46% from the floor in the second half. The Tar Heels were even better, shooting 59% after halftime, 55% overall in the game. North Carolina State senior Cody Burke led her team with 18 points on Sunday. Next up for the Tar Heels is a road trip up to Charlottesville to face the Virginia Cavaliers on Thursday. The 17-7 North Carolina men's basketball team rides a six-game winning streak down to Tallahassee tonight to take on a 15-10 Florida State team that's coming off a road win at Wake Forest, a team Carolina lost to earlier in the season. WCHL's Matt Oakes reports.
The dynamic duo of James Michael McAdoo and Marcus Page has provided a welcome boost to the Carolina offensive attack. The two say their court chemistry is coming together as the season marches on, but head coach Roy Williams says he needs the rest of the team to emerge and bring some offensive production to the table.
James Michael 24-12 and Marcus 5-6 from 3-point line. We got to get some other guys to step up and make shots. That's the bottom line. Other guys got to step up and help us.
Monday night's ESPN matchup at 7 p.m. in the Donald L. Tucker Center will be the next opportunity for one of the talented Tar Heel role players to step back into the limelight. Kennedy Meeks, J.P. Tokido, and Bryce Johnson all have shown bright flashes of brilliance, but Coach Williams says he wants consistent performers. Consistency is something Coach Williams has seemingly found on the defensive side of the floor. He says the greater intensity from the defense has been the cornerstone to the Tar Heel turnaround.
Everybody's got some big-time strengths and some weaknesses also up front. We don't have anybody that's quite as complete as we would like for them to be, but it's all about the team defense. I think it was one key possession where James Michael just got off in the lane and helped, and we ended up coming up with the basketball.
McAdoo posted 24 points and 12 rebounds Saturday against Pittsburgh. The junior says he's feeling much more comfortable on the floor these days.
Just trying to play, at that level, throughout the game. I realize I'm not going to be, a scoring machine, scoring every time I get the ball. That's just not Carolina basketball. So just, playing in the system and my teammates, hitting me when I'm open, finding the open spots, and then, just taking it upon myself to step up, like today late in the game. When I realized that we did need to score, I didn't necessarily do anything crazy, but just, running the offense. And like I said, my teammates were able to find me.
Sophomore guard Paige says the young Tar Heels have matured greatly since the 0-3 start in ACC play. Now sitting in fourth place in conference, Paige says he's proud of his teammates' resolve and determination to improve.
It was extremely frustrating because I was struggling myself as well. And prior to that, I had been playing really well, the entire year. So it was tough, but the way we came together and, really decided, at that point when we were 0-3 that we were going to make some things happen, I'm happy for my teammates, and this young bunch has grown up a lot since then.
Despite Carolina's improved play of late, escaping Tallahassee with a victory will be no easy task. Although Florida State has been struggling in the ACC with a 6-7 record, the Seminoles have two solid scoring threats in Aaron Thomas and Ian Miller, both of whom are shooting north of 45% from the floor. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
So there you go, another exciting Tar Heel basketball game on the way for tonight, and of course you will hear it right here on WCHL. It is 6:25 at WCHL, and time now for the Osgood File.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by Auto Owners Insurance, the no problem people. Visit AutoOwners.com. This is Charles Osgood. President Obama says the massive NSA surveillance program is important to national security, but he would like to see certain reforms, as he said last month.
The reforms I'm proposing should give the American people greater confidence that their rights are being protected.
But in several states, lawmakers don't want to wait for that to play out.
The federal government can spy and collect all this data if it wants, but as a state, we don't have to support it.
That is Utah State Representative Mark Roberts, a Republican. Utah is only one of 15 states threatening to withhold resources from the surveillance program, but it may be the most important one, as you'll hear after this. There are a lot of complicated things in life, rocket science, taxes, and tying a bow tie. But insurance does not have to be one of those complicated things. Your local independent agency representing Auto Owners Insurance will sit down and customize a plan just for you. So instead of trying to muddle through it all online yourself, contact your local independent Auto Owners agency. Find your local independent agent at AutoOwners.com. That's AutoOwners.com. Auto Owners Insurance, the no problem people. Go down the pain relief aisle, and you'll see there are a lot of pain relievers out there, but there's a powerful one you may not have heard of, Salonpas Jet Spray. Salonpas Jet Spray is a clear, fast-drying, pain-relieving spray perfect for sore muscles or joints. It has two active ingredients that give it the strength to work for up to 8 full hours. Look for the blue bottle with the blue cap and spray your way to relief. Salonpas. Powerful relief when and where you need it. Available at Walmart. South of Salt Lake City is a 2 million square foot NSA data storage warehouse, the largest such facility in the country.
The new NSA data center in Utah requires 1.7 million gallons of water every single day.
And that is what the Utah legislature will be asked to withhold from the NSA surveillance program. Here's our CBS News colleague, John Blackstone.
Mark Roberts is drafting a bill that would cut off state water to the facility, which needs it to cool its huge banks of computer servers. The legislation would also prohibit state universities from working with the NSA as long as it continues to collect phone records and data on millions of Americans.
The policy in the state would be that we won't provide any material support or assistance in any way to the data center.
Where does this bill and similar bills in other states stand now, John?
The bills are all in the very early stages, and their chances of passage are uncertain. But their authors' messages are coming across loud and clear.
Michael Bolden with the 10th Amendment Center, the think tank behind these bills, says the message is,
hey, the state is not going to participate in helping the federal government spy on people in the United States or around the world without a warrant.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Okay, I'm all set for a full Saturday of kitchen remodeling. Step one, fix the countertop. Step two, update those cabinets. That's okay, it's under warranty. Step three, modernize the floor. My wife's gonna kill me.
Hi, I'm Bill Cederberg of Cederberg Kitchens and Additions. Why tackle remodeling yourself? Let Cederberg Kitchens and Additions guide you through the whole process. Visit us at CederbergKitchens.com.
Meet the brokers at Weaver Street Realty. Bill Mullen and Don Basnight are both native Chapel Hillians who've seen our community through a half century of changes. Their advice is gold. Louise Barnum moves easily from muddy boots to city shoes in her pursuit to meet her clients' needs. Jay Parker is the broker in charge, having developed a loyal client base in 30 years of business. Gary Phillips and Clayton Nell are the oldest and youngest members of the team, combining experience and intelligence to bring a fresh perspective to every situation. Check them all out at WeaverStreetRealty.com.
Have you been to Carber lately? You just couldn't make this place up. February is For the Love of Carber Month, and there is so much to see and do, like the North Carolina Comedy Arts Festival. Acts from New York, L.A., Chicago, far and near, here to perform as the next generation of comedy talent. Hashtag NCCAF takes place February 6th through the 16th in the heart of Carborough. Come to Carborough and feel free. Unwind, create, taste, play, and be yourself. Follow us on Facebook at For the Love of Carborough.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Oasis at Carmel. Save half off, $20 worth of food and drinks, available now for $10. Oasis is located in downtown Carborough in Carmel. But at night, the space is transformed into an environment of entertainment, connections, and inspiration. Oasis features organic coffees, aromatic teas, wines and beers, homemade pastries, chocolates, quiches, and more. Many options are also vegetarian, vegan, and/or gluten-free. It's half off from Oasis. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather at 6:30. Brought to you by the Carolina Inn's Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar. One of only three Forbes 4-star rated restaurants in all of North Carolina. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant, a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. 33 degrees this morning, mostly sunny, high today in the middle 40s. Tonight we're looking at mostly cloudy skies with a 50-50 chance of rain, probably after midnight. Our overnight low in the low 30s. And then tomorrow the weather looks pretty good, sunny, not as cool, with a high in the low 60s. It's almost like springtime tomorrow. Now, tomorrow night, clear, and then a little cloud is rolling in after midnight with a slight chance of rain after midnight. Overnight low will be 40. And then on Wednesday, we're looking at partly sunny skies. Just a slight chance of showers in the early part of the day and the high in the middle 60s. So really nice weather on the way. Starting tomorrow, we're going to be up in the 60-degree range.
97.9 FM, WCHL, is Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. And streaming live 24/7 at chapelborough.com.
CBS News Update. I'm Dave Barrett. The co-pilot of an Ethiopian jetliner takes control and the plane, carrying more than 200 people, is hijacked to Switzerland while the captain is in the plane's bathroom. CBS's Charlie Daggett with details.
Flight 702 started in the Ethiopian capital of Addis Ababa, made a routine stop in Sudan before being diverted from its final destination of Rome to Switzerland. Now, officials say the co-pilot, who was unarmed, surrendered himself to police upon landing, that he lowered himself down from the cockpit by a rope.
As for the others who were on board?
Now, once landed in Geneva, the passengers were escorted onto the tarmac with their hands in the air as a security precaution. All were uninjured.
That Ethiopian Airlines co-pilot had said he wanted asylum in Switzerland. Officials there say he will be charged. And if convicted, he could go to prison for up to 20 years. CBS News Update. I'm Dave Barrett.
WCHL News, Talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
33 degrees, 632 at WCHL. I'm Ron Stutz. The Chapel Hill Town Council will get its first look tonight at a plan to build a new subdivision on 17 acres along Homestead Road. The land is currently occupied by two farmhouses and a small pond. The developer is looking to replace those with 65 single-family residences, a clubhouse, and a pool. Project planners say they'd prefer not to include town main affordable housing on site, opting instead for a lump sum payment to subsidize affordable housing elsewhere in town. The council will take public comment at a plan to restructure the town's advisory boards. The meeting will start tonight at 7 o'clock at the Southern Human Services Center on Homestead Road. Developers of the proposed Edge mixed-use project asked the Chapel Hill Town Council for help improving Eubanks Road. But council members have said they could not make any promises. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has details.
Adam Golden is the vice president of development for Northwood Raven, the company that's been planning the Edge project for more than a year. He came before the Chapel Hill Town Council last week to ask the town to help pay for the $3.5 million worth of road improvements needed to widen Eubanks Road.
Please consider participating in these road improvements to fix an existing condition that is already in trouble. Enable the Edge to move forward. Open the northern edge of town for economic development opportunity.
The Edge is a 54-acre site on Eubanks next to the town's park and ride lot. Golden said the proposed project would be pedestrian and transit-oriented with a mix of retail, residential, and office space. But he told the council it can't happen without help.
Our firm can absorb some of the costs associated with the Edge, but we cannot absorb all the costs associated with some of this background improvement required.
Town officials and representatives from the North Carolina Department of Transportation agreed that to support the proposed development, Eubanks Road needs to be widened with new turn lanes and bike lanes. The developer is planning to submit a formal application soon, but council members said they couldn't offer any guarantees that the town would contribute to the road improvements. Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt said the council would be willing to listen, but couldn't make a commitment.
There is no way that the council can provide you assurance today or this week that the end of those discussions is going to be affirmative and that you're going to have that level of participation that you seek.
Golden said his company would likely abandon the project if the town decides not to chip in.
If we can't get help with the improvements, we may be left with a project that's not feasible.
Council members agreed to refer the matter to staff for a report, but warned Golden they would not likely have a reply anytime soon. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Authorities say two people have died after the car they were in crashed after Mebane police tried to pull it over. Investigators said an officer tried to stop a car on Highway 70 in Mebane early Sunday morning because the driver appeared to be impaired, but the car sped away. Officers lost sight of the car but found it wrecked off the side of the road. A short time later, authorities say three men were pinned inside. Two died and a third was taken to the hospital. Their names have not been released. The Highway Patrol is investigating the wreck. The Centers for Disease Control classifies autism as one of America's most critical health issues. 34 states and the District of Columbia have already passed laws requiring insurance companies to provide coverage for autism treatment, but North Carolina is not one of them. In Chapel Hill, some families are fighting for that to change. Parth Shaw reports for Carolina Connection.
Cool set. And you started on your Valentine's?
Yeah. Well, I need to borrow some tea.
Peter Torres sits in his kitchen multitasking between playing Pokemon and making Valentine's Day cards for his classmates. Peter is 7 years old and has autism, a developmental disorder that affects the brain's growth of social and communication skills. Peter's mom, Debbie Torres, moved from Florida to North Carolina almost 6 years ago, drawn specifically to Chapel Hill for the care her son could receive here.
There's a great, strong community here of professionals, researchers, and parents, which is really rich.
Chapel Hill may have a lot of resources, but the real problem isn't accessibility, it's affordability. A Harvard study estimates it costs $3.2 million to take care of a person with autism over the course of his or her life. When Peter was younger, he needed treatment 5 to 6 days a week.
If you're not independently wealthy, you really can't afford, you know, to go to occupational therapy twice a week for $130 an hour.
North Carolina does not require insurance companies to cover autism treatment. The Affordable Care Act leaves the issue of autism coverage to states. And Bridget Mora, co-founder of the autism website ChartNC.com, says North Carolina has been slow to make progress.
34 other states do, plus the District of Columbia, do already have an autism insurance bill, so we are really behind on that.
The North Carolina bill to provide insurance coverage for autism made it through the House last May and is awaiting action in the Senate. Blue Cross Blue Shield North Carolina lobbied against the bill. Spokesman Lou Borman says the most providers in the state do in fact cover autism treatment.
We cover diagnosis, we cover medical interventions, and, you know, across the board, we cover physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech therapies.
But according to Mora, that coverage is severely limited and doesn't take into mind all the needs of an autistic child.
Someone's policy might cover 30 visits for, say, occupational therapy plus speech therapy, but perhaps the best course of treatment for their child is speech therapy a couple times a week plus occupational therapy. And it's just way well beyond the scope of what insurance currently offers.
Borman says Blue Cross Blue Shield's major concern is that the bill requires insurers to pay for Applied Behavioral Analysis, or ABA, which helps improve autistic children's behavior through positive reinforcement. ABA has been endorsed by the Surgeon General, but Blue Cross considers it an educational approach best left to schools and not a medical treatment. Borman also says that the financial burden of the autism insurance mandate would be a huge blow for customers.
Each additional mandate comes as a cost, you know, no matter how good the intention is. So what we have to balance is the concerns of small employers and individuals who are seeing, you know, fairly drastic increases.
But Mora says the statistics tell something different about the mandate.
The financial impact of the insurance in states that have had it for some time is really minimal. It costs about 31 cents more per month per subscriber in those states.
Torres remains concerned about the state of autism insurance coverage. She says not being covered can lead to some difficult decisions.
Having to pick and choose whether you need a behavioral therapist or an occupational therapist when you really need both of them, but not having the money to pay for that. I mean, that's a really hard choice to make, and you know, you want to be able to give your child everything.
The Senate is expected to vote on the bill in the short session this May. In Chapel Hill, I'm Parth Shah.
Carolina Connection is the radio news magazine at the UNC School of Journalism and Mass Communication. It airs every Saturday morning at 8:30 during the school year, right here on WCHL. Last weekend, the Moral Monday movement entered its second year in a big way as tens of thousands of North Carolinians, hundreds from Orange County alone, gathered in Raleigh for one of the largest civil rights rallies in the South in decades. The march was electrifying, and it gathered national attention. But is that enough? At what point can we declare Moral Monday to have been a success? WCHL's Aaron Keck has a full report. We will have that next hour on WCHL. You can also check it out on our website at chapelboro.com. North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory went on two national talk shows on Sunday to talk about climate change and the winter storms that have iced over the state in the past couple of weeks. On both Face the Nation and This Week with George Stephanopoulos, McCrory was asked about his comments while running for governor in 2008 that he doesn't get caught up in the global warming debate because he thinks it's in God's hands. McCrory said Sunday he thinks there has always been climate change, but instead of focusing on global warming, the governor says people should concentrate on keeping the air and water clean. McCrory also said environmental protection is a delicate balancing act with economic development and affordable power. WCHL News Time is 6:40. Chuck Morton has today's commentary, and that is on the way next.
Hi, I'm Blake Smith, and I'm with CEI, the Triangle source for your office equipment needs. I've been married for almost 6 years. I've got a beautiful 3-year-old daughter and twins on the way. I love golf, I sing in public, and I'm a huge fan of the Tar Heels. And I also happen to really know how to set up your office. I'm honest, I'm direct, I love talking with people and making long-term connections, and I won't disappear like some people do the second they make a sale. Visit me online at copycei.com. You'll be glad you did, and so will your office.
Enjoy culinary delights at the Carolina Inn's Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar, one of the only Forbes 4-star rated restaurants in North Carolina. Hi, this is Michelle from the Carolina Inn, inviting you to savor delectable cuisine prepared with fresh local ingredients. It's all created by executive chef James Clark and his talented culinary team and will be a meal you won't soon forget. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant at the Carolina Inn, a favorite place for gourmet cuisine.
Dorothy, dear, wake up, honey. It's Auntie M.
Auntie M?
For a minute here, we thought you'd left us.
Oh, but I did leave you, Auntie M. I went to Bredman's.
Bredman's?
Oh, it's a wonderful place, full of comfort food and good, friendly people. And breakfast was there, and lunch was there, and dinner was there, too.
All three at once? Dorothy, you must have been dreaming.
Bredman's Restaurant, since 1974, a Chapel Hill tradition.
Oh, Auntie M, there's no place like Bredman's.
Tickets are on sale now for St. Thomas More Catholic School's 2014 annual gala and auction, The Starry Night, to be held on Saturday, March 1st from 7 to 11 p.m. in the Friends and Family Hall of St. Thomas More Catholic Church. Please join us for a wonderful dining experience catered by Savory Fare and Shiki Sushi while bidding on fabulous, one-of-a-kind auction merchandise. 100% of the proceeds raised go to support the enrichment of the students of St. Thomas More. To buy tickets or make an auction donation, please visit us at stmhsa.org. And thank you, WCHL, for caring.
Listen at home or while you work with live streaming on chapelboro.com. 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Good morning, it is 642 WCHL.
And now, WCHL presents The Commentators.
This is Chuck Morton. In recent years, I have noted in traffic an increasing number of incredibly expensive automobiles. With Chapel Hill and Carborough's prosperous and aging demographic, an increasing number of midlife crisis machines are to be expected. Those who wish to overcome for their shortcomings may buy any number of luxury sedans and coupes that simply scream, "I have too much money." Corvettes and Mustangs are the proletariat version, but many opt for more declarative Maseratis or Ferraris. Bentleys and Rolls Royces now prowl the shopping malls searching for valet parking. The rest of us can only avoid them, as we cannot afford to insure against the dreadful possibility of tagging such exotics in traffic. A trunkectomy for many of these exotic machines would be far more than most insurance would bear. Hence, all our rates rise. To these gentlemen, I offer this advice. Park it, please. Any woman who loves you for your car is as shallow as you are. And please remember, convertibles and toupees do not mix. Also, those with comb-overs would be well advised to choose luxury sedans. Better yet, may I recommend the Toyota Camry, a pleasant mix of style and comfort and reliability that projects a confidence that need not be bolstered by ego-assuaging possessions. To those who ignore this advice, let the public offer this salute. Raise your fist to your car's ceiling. Wrist up, fingers forward. Extend your smallest pinky finger down, wagging slightly accusingly at the offending egomaniac. This I call the teeny-weeny-peeny, the universal mockery of the overcompensating fool. This is Chuck Morton.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Oh, thank you, Chuck. It's 6:44 at WCHL. Time to talk a little basketball.
Inside Carolina Basketball with Roy Williams. Brought to you by North Carolina Trusted Choice Independent Insurance Agents and the NCAIA.
In a hard-fought battle with Pittsburgh, Carolina led by as many as 12 in the second half and held on for a 75-71 victory over the ACC newcomer Saturday afternoon in the Smith Center. James Michael McAdoo had 24 points and 12 rebounds, while Marcus Page added 18 points, 4 assists, and 4 steals, and Bryce Johnson put in 13, 7 rebounds, and 5 blocks to help the Heels cause.
James Michael and Marcus, 37, 38 minutes. I hate that part, but my gosh, James Michael 24 and 12, and Marcus 5 for 6 from 3-point line. It's a big win over a very good basketball team, and glad I don't have to go to Pittsburgh this year. They're awfully good.
Disasters come in many forms, and they can occur at any time. Your business operations and your livelihood could come to a screeching halt. Your Choice Independent Insurance Agent wants to make sure your business can recover quickly. The way to do it is to have a plan in place before you need it. Talk with your local agent about developing an emergency preparedness plan.
Brought to you by North Carolina Trusted Choice Independent Insurance Agents and the NCAIA. To learn more about protecting your home or business, visit trustedchoice.com.
We all need people who will be there for us in life, especially when things get tough. People who say, we're with you no matter what. At Wells Fargo, we're with you now, at a time when you might have more financial questions than answers, and when it's time to rethink just about everything you do. So whether it's trying to figure out if it's a good time to buy a house, if you need to create a budget, or if you just need to get a handle on your expenses, Wells Fargo is with you. Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank N.A., member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Pitt star Lamar Patterson finished with a team-high 16 points, but had to work for those points, going 5 of 15 from the field and 3 of 9 from behind the arc.
First thing is it helped they got two fouls in the first half and set out all that time. J.P. did a nice job, and then when J.P. was out, the first half Isaiah did a pretty good job on him. In the second half, Leslie ended up guarding him more, but he's one of the most complete players I think there is in college basketball, and he carries them on their shoulders, but those other guys were pretty doggone good as well.
Inside Carolina Basketball with Roy Williams has been brought to you by North Carolina Trusted Choice Independent Insurance Agents and the NCAIA.
All right, Roy, and of course, we're going to have your game tonight on WCHL. It is 6:47. I'm Ron Stutz, and coming up, we'll take a look at your traffic and weather together. We have celebrity birthdays, Freddie Kiger's trivia quiz, and today's WCHL hometown hero all on the way.
Hi, this is Sean Sloan, owner of Twig. Imagine a store with the safest and purest infant and baby gifts, from organic clothing to teething and crib toys.
From France, meet Sophie the giraffe.
How about an organic soft musical pool toy?
Or a beautiful wooden handcrafted xylophone.
Now, imagine all of these special gifts in one relaxed and happy place. And you have Twig, Chapel Hill's go-to shop for all things baby and eco-friendly. Located on Elliott Road next to Whole Foods. Twig, where it feels good to be green.
This is Dr. Beth Goldstein with Central Dermatology Center. Rosacea is a common but misunderstood skin condition of flushing, blushing, and breakouts. If left untreated, the symptoms can worsen, and with time, people with rosacea may see a permanent redness in their face. If you've noticed signs of rosacea and are looking for help, request an appointment online with Central Dermatology Center at centralderm.net or call us at 919-401-1994. We accept most major insurances, including Medicare and TRICARE.
Hello, this is Tony Hall, real estate broker at Tony Hall & Associates. I'm pleased to report home sales are jumping, and so are we. 2014 is off to a great start with many more homes being sold as compared to this time last year. I predict we will have an awesome winter and spring market. If you're thinking about selling or purchasing real estate, please contact us today, 919-933-8500 or TonyHallAssociates.com. At Tony Hall & Associates, we don't just list houses. We sell them.
Well, thank you, Tony. It is time now for Traffic and Weather Together on WCHL. And this traffic report is brought to you by Grimble Jewelers. Whether you need a new watch battery, engagement ring, or that custom piece that you've been dreaming of for a long, long time, remember that Grimble Jewelers is always there for you. Grimble's, Chapel Hill's premier full-service jeweler. Go see Berkeley Grimble today at Grimble's in the Village Plaza on Elliott Road, right next to Whole Foods. Grimble Jewelers. Well, traffic has been moving along fairly smoothly this morning. Don't think we have the usual problems, and by the usual problems, I've been talking about ice over the last week or so. We've had so many problems in regards to that, and this morning should be a little bit better situation. No question about that. And temperature's right around that strategic point right now, 33 degrees, but it's going to warm up considerably, especially tomorrow. Let's check in with Ram Northam and find out what's going on.
Yeah, thank you, Ron. I actually did slip a little bit this morning here and there. On the back roads, the main roads are certainly just fine this morning.
I slipped just a little bit when I pulled into my space in the parking lot.
Yeah,
Came up on some ice.
Just a little bit, and a lot of things still melting, still some snow around there. So, I mean, even on MLK, I did see a couple slippery spots, but nothing really all that major this morning. So, still use caution when you wake up this morning and hit the roads. Make sure you don't spin out a little bit. Right now, 15501 southbound between NC54 and Manning Drive, seeing just a minor to moderate delay. Nothing major there. Otherwise, things are moving smoothly this morning on I-40, the Durham Freeway, NC54, MLK, Estes Drive, and Franklin Street. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
Hey, Randy, you remember the song that started out, I couldn't sleep at all last night? just a thinking of you.
That sounds familiar.
Maybe things weren't right. Because I was tossing and turning. That guy.
Yes,
right,
yes, yes, yes. I do know that one.
That guy has a birthday today.
Hey, how about that?
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Very and nice. Other celebrities celebrating birthdays today.
Look forward to it.
Coming up just a couple of minutes here. I know it's one of the highlights of your day.
Always.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you in a while. WCHL's Chapel Hill Cover of Weather, brought to you by Glass Half Full, the friendly, optimistic restaurant, wine bar, and wine shop right in the heart of downtown Carver. Good food, fine wine, and lots of fun, too. Online at glasshalffullcarborough.com. Well, it is 33 degrees, mostly sunshine. High today in the middle 40s, about 45 or 46. Not so bad. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a 50-50 chance of rain, probably after midnight, and the low in the low 30s. Now, tomorrow, it's really going to change. Tomorrow, sunny skies, not as cool. High tomorrow in the low 60s. Tomorrow night, clear with a slight chance of rain after midnight with a low around 40. And then on Wednesday, partly sunny with a high in the middle 60s. How about that? That sounds pretty darn good, doesn't it? It's really going to warm up here. And, well, starting tomorrow. Time now for celebrity birthdays on WCHL. And let's get started on this long list of famous folks who are celebrating today. Actor Hal Holbrook is 89 years old. Very talented guy. Singer Bobby Lewis, the guy I was talking about a moment ago, tossing and turning, 81 years old today. Let's see here. Actress Christina Pickles, 79. Football Hall of Famer, one of the greatest ever, Jim Brown, 78 years old today. Actress Marianne Mobley, who was once Miss America, 77 years old today. Actress Renee Russo, 60. Actor Richard Karn, 58. Actor Lou Diamond Phillips is 52. Basketball Hall of Famer, former Carolina guy. Well, always Carolina guy, I guess. Michael Jordan, 51 years old today. Actor-comedian Larry the Cable Guy is also 51. Let's see here. Actor Dominique Purcell, 44. Olympic gold and silver medal skier Tommy Moe is 44. Actress Denise Richards, 43. Billy Joe Armstrong, lead singer Green Day, 42. Actor Jerry O'Connell is 40. Actress Kelly Carlson is 38. Actor Ashton Holmes, 36. Actor Jason Ritter is 34. Television personality and just famous for being famous, I guess, Paris Hilton, 33 years old today. Actor Joseph Gordon-Levitt is 33. Singer-songwriter Ed Sheeran is 23 years old today. And actress Meagan Martin is 22. Some local celebrities celebrating birthdays today. First of all, Lane Sedlowski had a birthday on Saturday. Happy birthday, Lane, a couple of days late. Also, Annette Council, happy birthday. Go down to Mama Dips and wish her a happy birthday today. And our birthday winner of the day is London Ivy. All right, London, happy birthday, buddy. We're going to get you a $10 gift certificate from the UPS stores, Fordham Boulevard at Minamont. Happy birthday, London Ivy, from all of us at WCHL.
Monday, ladies and gentlemen. Freddie Kiger survived the weekend somehow.
We all did. That's good.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm great. I hope you are.
Yeah, real good.
Yeah,
real good to see you.
Well, it's nice to be seen.
Yeah.
Rather than being viewed.
That's right. We've been through that before.
Yes, we have. Hey, we're doing a question on geology.
Oh, okay.
Geology, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, you're a rock star, so that makes sense.
What an obsidian remark.
Everybody must get stoned.
Of course.
All right.
Of course.
Of course. All right. Micah, well, what else is on your slate?
Micah, row the boat ashore.
Oh, what kind
of stone is Georgia's Stone Mountain?
What kind of stone?
What kind of stone is Georgia's Stone Mountain?
That's a good question.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I've been there.
Many of us have been there. I would imagine, I don't know this for certain, but I would imagine that our own Stone Mountain and North Carolina would be made of the same material.
Same kind?
Same kind of rock. But this specifically, what kind of stone is Georgia's Stone Mountain?
Well, I don't want to say anything because I might accidentally give it away. 929-WCHL is your number to call if you know the answer to the question.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights the great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Shelley Day is executive director of the Ronald McDonald House of Chapel Hill, and she's been doing it a long time.
I answered a call for applicants and came in for interviews and was immediately struck by the sense that this was where I belonged. I was thrilled when they offered me the job and been here ever since.
Shelley is today's WCHL hometown hero. Even before she got to the house, she'd done a lot of nonprofit work.
I'd been working in nonprofits for probably 15 years before that. Most recently, I had been executive director of the League of Women Voters of North Carolina, doing a lot of lobbying on health care reform, because oddly enough, that was a hot topic back then. History repeats itself.
Yes, it does. Just ask Shelley Day, or for that matter, anyone who works at the Ronald McDonald House, about the huge impact the house has on people's lives.
You know, the Ronald McDonald House is such an amazing place. I think that anybody that walks in here understands immediately. We hear over and over again from families who come here and say that this has changed their life, and it's changed their understanding of what it means to have a sick child and to be supported by a much larger community. Sometimes they stay here for 3 weeks or 3 months or a year, and they feel that support. And it really, I've just seen so many times where people talk about how it's changed their lives.
I know it's your slogan, but it truly is a reality. Ronald McDonald House really is a home away from home.
It's a home away from home, and you know, our other little tagline is the house that love built. It's just incredible what it takes to keep the house going, and really it's the entire community and the entire state that gets behind this.
And Shelley Day says it couldn't be done without all those wonderful volunteers at the Ronald McDonald House of Chapel Hill. And keep those contributions coming. Here's how to find out more.
Show up at the front door. We'd love to show people the house and love to have them experience it firsthand. Or they can go to our website, which is www.chapelhillrmh.net.
Thank you for all you do. Shelley Day, executive director of the Ronald McDonald House of Chapel Hill, today's WCHL hometown hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles.
Oh my goodness, what in the world happened there? It is 6:58 at WCHL, and I hope you're doing okay this morning. We are... Some strange stuff happening around here. I'm trying to figure out what's real and what's not real. I feel like I'm in Strawberry Fields Forever or something.
Would that be granite?
That would be correct.
That stone mountain is made of granite.
That's correct. We asked what kind of stone is Georgia Stone Mountain, and my friend and colleague Ron Stutz got it correct. It is granite. Located 50 miles east and northeast of downtown Atlanta, Stone Mountain is 5 miles in circumference at its base.
Wow.
A monadnock, like our Pilot Mountain, 1,686 feet above the surrounding ground at its summit. And on the north face, of course, the largest bas relief in the world, the figures of the Confederate figures Stonewall Jackson, Robert E. Lee, and Jefferson Davis.
A monadnock.
A monadnock.
What the heck is that?
It is, oh boy, hope my geology friends are, it is a stone or an abrupt rising pinnacle in an area that's kind of relatively flat around it.
Well, whatever. The answer to the question is granite, and Jeff Mallett was the first person to call in here and get it right. Jeff gets Swap Trivia Fries and also gets a $10 gift card to Cruisers. Also, special credit to Scott Jarrett, who called in and said, I just want you to know that... we don't take you guys for granted.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
And it's 7 o'clock.
Carolina football.
No, he's not! Yes, he is! Touchdown!
WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
CBS News, I'm Frank Setapani. A scathing UN report accuses North Korea of unspeakable crimes, but whether anything will change is an open question. CBS News team coverage begins with correspondent Vicki Barker on the foreign desk.
The UN investigators heard evidence of what one diplomat is calling unspeakable and systematic atrocities by the regime. Stories like this woman, prison camp survivors, heard here through an interpreter.
My parents were starved to death, and I had to bury them.
A woman forced to drown her own baby. Families tortured for watching a foreign soap opera. The UN expected to call for strong action to punish Pyongyang. Now here's CBS's Don Kirk in Seoul for word on